Good morning. Good morning. Happy Monday. My favorite day of the weekend. It's the beginning of June. Great day. It'll be a great day. We're going to have a great program today. We'll be joined next hour by the current sheriff, Democrat of Bristol County, Paul Heroux. Always a fun experience when you get Sheriff Heroux in here, and he's freewheeling and shares a lot of information with us. So if you have a question, he's more than happy to take it. 508-996-0500. Want to thank South Coast Towing, who got me in this morning. What a great company that is. Chris Medeiros is a great guy, and he's got a great fleet of drivers. Chris Dextrader, always a good morning when you wake up to Chris Dextrader driving you, and he and I always have some good conversations. Of course, he was a retired New Bedford police officer, and he's not above stopping and harassing the people out doing details. So it's kind of fun when South Coast Towing brings me in. Remember, if you're ever on the side of the road, whether it's in an accident or breakdown, you can tell the police you'd like, and you should tell them you'd like South Coast Towing to handle this tow. So you can recommend whatever towing company you want, and I would recommend you request South Coast Towing. They're also the sponsors of our app. Have their phone number written down and in your phone, and your family should have it as well. I certainly make everybody I care about have South Coast Towing in their phone. So, last hour, really interesting program, having the City Council President Ryan Pereira in here with Tim, taking your calls. I'd like to hear what your thoughts were on that program. I know right at the end, one of the callers asked about recovering the wrongly paid longevity pay to some of the city councilors. And it's kind of ironic, right, that the city council unanimously asked the inspector general to come in and do an audit, a forensic audit, to quote Councilor Gomes. That's really interesting, isn't it? That they want to bring in an outside agency to look at waste, fraud, and abuse. That's what the inspector general does. They look for waste, fraud, and abuse. And they have a citizen hotline. What's interesting is that, of course, it was this inspector general who uncovered the abuse in another city of longevity pay by elected officials, right? And it was that report that got this member of the media interested in longevity pay abuse by elected officials that triggered the whole longevity pay. But it wasn't just me. It was also that report and the media coverage of it. I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that got one of the city attorneys looking into longevity pay for elected officials. And again, I'm not part of those conversations. I report on them. But there was at one point the conversation within City Hall about longevity pay that got the city solicitor curious. So he started looking. And it was then covered in the New Bedford Light. Jack Spillane really got to the root of it, though. Jack Spillane got to the root of it. A private sector, former private sector employee, a Walmart employee who went back to school and then became a city employee, she questioned, hey, I don't see where legally I can pay out this money. So she got the conversation going. It got the city solicitor going. Next thing you know, John Mitchell is returning his longevity pay. Then you have some, but not all, city councilors returning their longevity pay. Joe Lopes paid it back. Naomi Carney paid it back. Brian Gomes is yet to pay it back. Linda Morad, she left city government. So I guess that might put her out of reach, maybe not, of city government. But you're talking about thousands of dollars paid out to city councilors, assessors, tons of people got this longevity money. Now, I don't know if it'd be enough to save the jobs of firefighters, but certainly a couple of them, should that money get paid back. And the mayor has the will to want to use the money to save those firefighters. But it's kind of ironic, right? That Brian Gomes, who's yet to pay back money that he shouldn't have received, is requesting the inspector general comes in to the city of New Bedford to look at what his mission is, waste, fraud, and abuse with public funds. Be kind of ironic if the inspector general, who did such great work in another small city on the abuse of longevity pay by elected officials, it would be kind of ironic if he came in and then used the power of his office to try to claw back, Madoff style, the money that was taken by elected officials who remain with us, right? Because as Ryan Pereira pointed out, it'd be a little ridiculous to go after the estates of these people who were given money that would fall under the guise of waste, fraud, and abuse, as the inspector general detailed it in his other report on longevity abuse by elected officials. Be kind of ironic, right? If the eyeballs of the inspector general were invited into the city of New Bedford by city councilors, with the leader being Brian Gomes. Be kind of ironic. 508-996-6050. That's how you can get on the air. We got a lot of people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning.
What's happening?
I mean, how can they take Gomes serious when he himself, apparently, I don't know if he's refusing or, you know, by his actions, he hasn't repaid the money that he should never have been paid. I mean, let's start there. You know, let's bring some credibility to that office, to that chair of the public safety. Let's bring some credibility to that chair. Pay it back. Sure, you know, lead by example. Here you are, pointing your finger at the mayor once again, you know, trying to create some sort of, you know, that the mayor did some wrongdoing without even having any specifics or any facts. You know, he's putting this cloud over the mayor's administration, which, you know, you do have to point things out, but he hasn't necessarily given us any idea to any specifics to anything that what he's pointing at. So let's start there. You know, let's bring some credibility to that chair. Pay it back. Bring it back to the coffers of the taxpayers that put up the money. You know, I don't understand what he's waiting for. You can't point the finger when you yourself are not doing the right thing. I mean, if anyone else was caught doing something, you get consequences. And luckily for him, the consequences just pay it back. It's not like he's being charged with a crime. Just pay the money back.
Joe Lopes paid it back. Naomi Carney paid it back. Mayor Mitchell paid it back. It's obvious what the best course of action is for the taxpayers. Hey, Carlos, I know you didn't call about this, but I got to commend you on a really on-the-spot video. You're the only one, I think, that has the video at New Bedford Live of the melee or the after effects of the melee downtown. Carlos, what do you know about that now?
So far, I really don't know much. We asked for some information. We haven't got anything just yet. But from what we're hearing, a bunch of fights outside. They weren't able to get under control. They had to reach out to the surrounding towns for backup. And they took care of the situation. But no, so far, nothing new. So kind of in the dark. I'm curious myself because that was quite a situation.
So
luckily, it didn't get out of hand like it could have, you know?
So, Carlos,
because of the great work by the police department, of course.
You yourself and you got some people that work for you at New Bedford Live. You were able to capture the video. How did you get the tip, if you don't mind revealing it? Were you listening to the scanner? You were there. Or one of your people were. You guys had the video, I think the only video outside of the body cams.
Yeah, we have multiple people that, you know, they're like night owls, and they listen to the scanner, and they give us the heads up. And, you know, sometimes I'll be listening to the scanner. But to be honest with you, we rely on people that, you know, they listen to the scanner pretty much on a 24-hour basis. You know, they're scanner heads, and they give us the heads up. And without them, I wouldn't be able to do half the stuff, you know, because as you can imagine, you listen to the scanner yourself, you know, that stuff can get a little overwhelming after a while. So we rely on people and their tips, and you know, nblive@yahoo.com. if anybody wants to send me a message, that's the best way to reach us. But yeah, we rely on people, good people that care about the city tremendously, you know, and they do it for the love of the city, you know, just
so
like we do. And
The melee, one of them anyway, happened in front of City Hall, but we don't believe it was political in any nature, right?
I haven't seen anything that would say that.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything.
More of a coincidence than anything else.
Yeah, you know, thank goodness, you know, I don't want that to happen.
All right, Carlos, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, appreciate
everything he does to contribute to local journalism. 508-996-0500. This longevity pay that, if you remember, there was a scheme within the city council to make it legal when a clerk, and Jack Spillane has this whole story laid out, and we interviewed him about it, or I interviewed him about it. I hate talking like we, but it was me. But I hate saying that too. But I interviewed Jack Spillane, and we had a nice conversation about how he uncovered it. That it was actually a woman within City Hall bureaucracy who said, hey, she asked the question nobody had asked. Now, then Maria Fiesta have a party on the taxpayer's dime, recently thrown out of office by the people of Ward 2 for the betterment of Ward 2, I think. Maria Fiesta having a party on the taxpayer's dime, woke up and conspired with Linda Morad and other members of the council, known and unknown, to try to legalize this plunder. But they failed because Leo Choquette exposed the scheme by which Maria Fiesta, having a party on the taxpayer's dime, along with Linda Morad, we're trying to legal and people known and unknown to the grand jury on the city council that were trying to legalize this plunder. They failed due to a whistleblower, Leo Choquette. He probably deserves a reward, literally a financial reward. There's a story all about it, WBSN.com. As there's a story running on the news about the melee that happened downtown that Carlos and I were just talking about. So the plunder of the treasury by elected officials using the scheme of longevity pay was halted by a whistleblower on the council, Leo Choquette. So I wonder if, now maybe Linda is ridden off into the sunset, so to speak, and won't be returning to city politics, but you never know. There is a little bit of blood in the water right now, both in Ward 1 and citywide. So you never know if Linda Morad, very skilled financially, very knowledgeable, personality not so good, but you take the good with the bad. You don't have a choice. You get the whole person, not the half person. But, and I have to say, Linda Morad wrote me a beautiful note, one or two of them, while I was sick, and I treasure it. I really appreciate it. And I do treasure her financial abilities. But maybe she's done with city politics. But if she's not, we'll know, because she'll have to write, I think it would be in her best interest, in the city's best interest, for her to refund the money with an explanation that she didn't know. And that'll be kind of odd, because how do you say you're really good at financials and not know it? It was buried right in the budget. I saw it year after year. I just chose not to highlight it until the it became more of an issue. And then the auditor, no, correction, the inspector general highlighted in another small city the abuse. So it then had a lot of legs. So we'll be interested to see. But it'd be curious to see if the inspector general tries to wrangle the money out of Brian Gomes after Brian has invited him with his colleagues from the city council in to review the books. Wild stuff. Wild. If you're on hold, I do want to speak with you. If you got something on your mind, I want to hear about it. We'll have Sheriff Paul Haru at 10 o'clock. I got to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. I'm certainly not running on empty, not after that espresso that Tim Weisberg makes me every morning to start the program off. I do appreciate everything Tim does here, particularly the espresso, or espresso. All right, guys. Last Friday, I talked all about the retirement board meeting and encouraged you all to watch it, but I recognize some of you don't have the kind of time that I have, so I watch meetings so you don't have to. But the important part is this meeting was live streamed by cable access at the direction of the chief information officer at the from the mayor's office, so the mayor's orders, to put it on Facebook so that everybody could see the retirement board, although obviously not everybody got a chance to. It's now on cable access, and it's about the retirement, the cost of living. And remember, it's a board made up of retirees elected by their members and other people appointed by the mayor and elected by the other members to be on the board. So it includes Lenny Belageron from the police department, Billy Cabral from the fire department, Chris Saunders, who's also the county treasurer and a local attorney. He's on the board. He has quite a role in this meeting. And so I know that many of you didn't get a chance to probably hear it, but it's very important. And so I'm going to do my best to play as much of it as possible. It's a really interesting, very important meeting. Again, the mayor thought it was so important that he brought it up here, encouraged people to watch it, and then had it live streamed on Facebook by cable access. And I like to do my part to further the conversation by playing it for you. And trust me, this is really worth hearing. There'll be some fireworks in there from Chris Saunders, from Lenny Belageron, from a number of people. And I'm going to bring it to you right now. If you're on hold, stay there, please, because I want to get your opinion as well. If you want to get involved in the conversation, it's 508-996-0. Now we're going to go to the retirement board meeting from last week that was live streamed on Facebook at the orders of the mayor, because he thinks it's that important, obviously. And so do I. I agree with him. And so does the retirement board, really, although they come down on different sides of the issue. All right, here we go, to the retirement board.
Increase COLA fiscal year.
This is Lenny Belageron.
Discussion and vote.
I move that we accept a zero.
So this is cable access, and it's my computer as well. It is, you know, doing that stupid thing where it circles. So maybe I can't play it for you. But the city, the mayor's appointee, a female member of his staff, whose name escapes me, I'm sorry, is recommending a zero COLA increase. Okay, a zero COLA increase for the retirees, as the mayor talked about here on the program. So that's not, you know, she's doing it at his directive. God damn it.
They represent COLA increase.
Second. Motion.
So obviously I can't play the damn thing because for whatever reason, my computer, their computer, it's probably on our end. That's the only thing I can deal with. So I got to assume it's on our end. It's just circling. That's really, really frustrating. 'Cause this is really important stuff. And due to technology or lack thereof, I can't play it for you. Let me see if I can do it one more time. For once, this isn't on my incompetence.
Made by Angela, seconded by Quillen. Discussion.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I really am. And I can't play the video for you. So I don't know. What's Trump doing these days? 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, what's happening?
So anyway, that's why I always forget what I'm going to say, because I get left on hold so long, but that's okay. Anyway, I wanted to make a comment about the money that needs to be clawed back.
Yes.
What about the taxes that were listed a while back? And I never heard anything back on that. And it was way over $100,000 in business taxes. I can name some of them right now that were on the list.
So help me out here. When you explain the issue, without giving the names, until I got a firmer grasp on the issue, what exactly do you mean lifted? In other words, were they written off? Were they waived?
No,
was
they
it a COLA? What?
They owe businesses that owe tax money, and it was all listed. So I should be able to say it because it's public information.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't mind.
Like one of them was Goulart Square Bakery.
Okay.
And it had a whole list. One of them was Potting Bench. They owe taxes, and they didn't pay them. They're not paid. So what? I've never heard anything since. that I saw, heard about the list and saw the you know, it's public information.
Yep.
And there's many more on that list. So why don't they, why does he wait so long to get that money?
So that's a big process. You've got to take them to court. They're probably putting liens on the property. I know they are, because that's how it works. And then eventually they can work out agreements. That's it's just the process, yeah.
Maybe Leo Choquette could find out about that, because he's good at that.
We could ask Leo, yeah.
Yeah, when he comes on, because I remember that distinctly. It was on the show, and it's been just like pushed under the rug for a couple of years now, I would say at least. So we need to get that money. They need to pay that money, because I know if it was the homeowners, we wouldn't get away with it. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I totally do, because they put liens against homes. But my understanding with businesses and homeowners, it's been like this forever, not just New Bedford. You don't pay your property taxes. They put a lien against your property. And when the property is sold, the taxes have to be paid before the title can transfer.
Right.
So it may be that there are liens in place, and that it's just a matter of the fact that the property hasn't been sold, and so the city's not able to collect the money. That's, you know, it's a longer process.
As far as Linda Morad, I'd rather go forward than go backwards. I'd rather keep going forward.
You mean you don't want to see a return to city government?
No, I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forward. I don't want to get people back that were there. We tried to get rid of that before, remember?
Yes.
We were trying to clean house. And what is the Melee thing? I didn't hear about that one. I missed that one.
So there was a bar downtown. We've got it at the news, top of the hour. There was a bar downtown in the old Standard Times building, that's my understanding, that they were still had patrons at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and city, you know, that's obviously against the rules, bars close. And so they then spilled out of there, and there was a fight, and it took place in front of City Hall. No relation to City Hall, just happened to be the geographic location. Carlos has a video.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about, where it is, but I never went in that one.
No, it was an Italian restaurant for years, but now it's not.
Yeah, Riccardi's brother owned it, I think.
Really?
And it was real nice, and then he got sick, remember?
Yes.
And then now this other person took it over, and I never went in there, but I think it's a younger crowd that goes there.
Yeah, although I think some of the people, I mean, they were above age. The story that our news guy has at the top of the hour lists some of the age, and one of them had a license to carry a concealed weapon, a firearm, which means he's at least 21 years old. And they took the firearm, they took the license, because he's involved in some disturbance. Of course, he's innocent until proven guilty, and he very well may not need, you know, may very well get the license back, the firearm back, because I don't believe any gunshots were fired. But it's a really wild story.
It's a bad crowd going in there now. I'll stick down to Rose Alley and down there.
Yes, Rose Alley. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks, my friend. Yeah, I was at Rose Alley on Friday, as a matter of fact, sitting outside with Tom Hodgson and other friends of ours, had a good meal, real good meal, actually. Couple of drinks. It was really nice. Beautiful day last Friday to sit on the deck at Rose Alley Ale House. We can take a break, and then we'll be right back. I still cannot get this video satisfied to where it can play, so I'm sorry.
Got a job.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Looking out at the road,
Welcome back to the program. Again, Tim came in and we consulted a little bit, or rather Tim told me a better way to do things, which is why this place would fall down without him. And I'm going to try to do that now. I went to the New Bedford Cable Access Facebook page, but we also are suspicious that it's the Comcast problem as well that's slowing things down because it's just buffering. But I'm going to try once again, because I don't give up ever on playing this video for you from the retirement board. It's really important. So stick around. Sorry, Jackson Brown. It'd be nice if I had a producer, wouldn't it? But I don't. So you're stuck with me trying to figure this out. Anyway, all right, so I can't play it, and that's just the way it goes. And
you can't hear it.
I can't hear it.
No, the audio was terrible in that meeting anyway.
Okay.
So it's not going to play well on the radio.
All right. So it'll just disappear into the ether. We'll never, ever get to hear, which was quite a quite a speech by Chris Saunders. Our elected county treasurer, where he talks all about the questions that he has. How do you go from having a surplus to then having a deficit? And he goes into such detail and is such a... remember, he's a lawyer, a lot of experience speaking publicly. Mr. Saunders goes into asking these questions. How can this happen, right? And he talks about the mayor increasing his pay and the Unit C employees getting pay raises, and how that all impacts the retirement board, and that his role and the retirement board's role is not to the city of New Bedford, but to the retirees, the members of the retirement board, that that's their responsibility. They have to keep the welfare of the retirees in mind with all the decision making. It's not about the city of New Bedford's books, the finance of the city of New Bedford. It is about the health and welfare of the retirees. That's their goal. Between himself, Lenny Bellageron, Billy Cabral, and the other members of the retirement board. So it's a really important speech, and maybe someday I'll be able to play it for you here on WBSM. The other part about that is everybody on that retirement board references WBSM and what has taken place from the mayor's segments and other segments here on WBSM, and they all address it. So it's that's about you, whether you're a retiree or not. It's about you, the listener, here to WBSM that creates the environment by which we talk about issues and the mayor comes in to talk to you and to learn from you. So it's a real credit to you, the audience here at WBSM. Let me help you out. If you got an old car, a junk car, if you will, in your yard, that's like a little piggy bank. Turn that junk car into cash today. Clean up your yard and get cash on the barrelhead. At Mid-City Scrap in Westport, we pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Mid-City Scrap in Westport, we will pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Listen to this. Got a small car in the yard, $400 to $500. Mid to large size car in the yard, $500 to $600. SUV, up to $700. Full-size trucks just sitting in the yard, up to $800, all cash. No games, no waiting, just fast cash. Very easy. Simply call Joe, Johnny, Mark, or Doug at 508-675-7831. That's 508-675-7831. Mid-City Scrap, cash for junk cars, State Road in Westport. We're going to take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around. The mayor wanted to highlight it. It's on Facebook. You can check it out yourself. The audio is probably better. But I'll get you started. And we're going to try to play it.
They're having to make many cuts to the budget.
This is one of the mayor's appointees.
Is the pension, the annual retirement contribution. So having to make that, they've had to make other cuts, I'm sure, as you've all seen in the media and with the mayor's state of the city and his budget address. Now, they've had to make over $12 million of cuts right now to have a balanced budget, which includes potentially closing a fire station, having to lay off other employees, reduce services. To start off with, you know, there was about a $32 million gap between revenues and expenses, so they've cut the pension system, which the city is about 87% of the total payment for that. So we figured that if we had a 0% increase, that it would save all the member units, including the city, in the long run for these catch-up payments, basically, up until 2035. So I understand that 0% might not be the best for the retirees. It factors into maybe a $420 increase right now. Next year, when the 16,000 COLA base comes into effect, it would be a $480 increase a year for them. But this would be, you know, estimating about $7 million increase to the city each year if the 3% COLA were to be increased. So right now, really, the city just isn't in a position to afford that 3% increase. So I respectfully ask for the board to consider having a 0% COLA increase for this year.
Anybody else? All right. I'm just going to make a comment, and it's why should the retirees suffer as a result of the city's mismanagement of its budget?
And this is Lenny Belagron, former police officer.
What happened to the taxpayer and to the residents with regards to how we went from a surplus to a minor deficit to a large deficit. I think that we're owed an explanation. If you're asking for the retirees to suffer as a result of what I believe is mismanagement of the budget, the city's budget, I think the taxpayer and the residents need an answer.
Okay, yeah. So with regards to the surplus, this is how the last fiscal year ended. So that was the actuals. So there were, you know, better than anticipated revenues, and the city was able to not overspend on any line. So every single account the city had stayed within budget. This year, with the increase in costs, the increase in health insurance, the increase in pension, the increase in assessments, the increase in the school budget, everything is going up, and a lot of these costs are fixed. So all those I just said probably amount to like about 80% or so of the city's budget. And the city can only forecast what they're going to receive in revenue. So, you know, we can't just say we're going to receive a bunch more revenue this year to match all these expenses. So that's why there's this big gap between the expenses and the revenues this year. What initially started as $32 million, and they cut it down, they had to cut over $12 million. So with the budget now, this is trying to basically predict the future. We're forecasting what fiscal 27 will be. And since we can't just be too crazy with trying to figure out what the revenues would be, we have to be conservative with the revenues. So we can't overspend the revenues. So we have to only spend up what we can raise in revenues, which are either local receipts, state contributions, or taxes. So with the city being unable to be too liberal with the revenue, trying to forecast that, they have to basically cut back on expenses. So that's where we're at. And with the pension being, you know.
Okay, so I think that's coming out across the air. We'll figure it out during the news break. But that is the retirement board meeting from last week, May 28th, I believe it was. And what you were listening to was a appointee of the mayor and then Lenny Bellageron, you know, saying, look, it's not on the retirees to have to balance the budget. We're going to interview now Paul Heru. He's been here since, hasn't been here since February, mostly because of me and some of his schedule. But he's been very flexible, and I do appreciate that about the sheriff. And we'll talk more with the sheriff in the next hour. Then at the 11 o'clock, after we say goodbye to the sheriff, we'll go back to this video. If it's working for you, the listener, we'll go back to it. Because I know a lot of you out there aren't interested in Facebook, and more sympathetic I could not be. But I want you to hear the material that's out there, and maybe some of you don't have access to cable access through the internet, on demand stuff. So anyway, to the best of our ability, we want to get this information to you. As I said, John Mitchell thought so much of the meeting that he had it live streamed on cable access. So